The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On this exclusive edition, we talk to Jimmy Rave, a guy that has given so much to the world of pro wrestling, even his body. We'll talk about it right now with our very special guest, Jimmy Rave, right here on the Busted Open Podcast. Let's go back to November 28th when you you sent out that tweet about what took place. Like, how difficult was it for you to send out that tweet, and how hard was it, and what kind of response did you get from that tweet that you sent?
Yeah, so really the surgery had happened a couple days before, and I was just kind of trying to delay putting that tweet out. Throughout my whole career, I've been mainly a heel in pro wrestling, and so I tended not to have a lot of interactions with fans. And I try to keep my Twitter that way too. But, I knew this was something that I was going to have to address. And I had conversations with my girlfriend, and I actually reached out to Zach Gowen before I put it out. And, he just told me to be honest and let everybody know what was going on. So, pro wrestling is all I've known since I've been 14 years old. Like, that's just all I've been doing. I think the longest time I had off was like maybe 9 months. But that's over 21 years, And so it was super hard to have to put that out. I was real surprised, I had a very overwhelming response of people like really positively saying things to me and about me. That was super awesome. There was like one little incident, but I think that got squashed real quick. But I've always tried to pride myself, especially in the wrestling community, to be somebody that my peers can always rely on. I've tried to help as many people along the way as possible. There was a lot of people talking about experiences I never even knew about that I influenced them in some way. So like that was really, really cool to have if I'm never ever able to wrestle again, that's still something I can take with me.
Yeah, and you mentioned about the outcry from support for you, and you like you said, like it's crazy to think about this. You're still in your 30s, yet you've had a career that's over 20 years, which is, again, at such a young age to get involved in pro wrestling.
Right.
So you get that after being, as you said, hated for so long, but you did have the respect not only of your peers, but as of your fans as well. Because I know for myself, somebody who's a wrestling fan on the indie scene, you've kind of got that name as being the king of the indie scene. You've been everywhere and have done everything on a thriving indie scene. And you've gone through your own trials and tribulations. But I guess you, for yourself personally, you always had that fallback of pro wrestling. So no matter what went wrong with your life or whatever you were going through, you always had pro wrestling to fall back on.
Yeah, absolutely. When there was times where I wasn't like on the national scene, like I was still, I had a real successful thing going on in Georgia for about 3 or 4 years, writing TV on a local Fox affiliate or pro wrestling. And we would bring in guys like we I used Brian Danielson after he got suspended for that little bit of time with Justin Roberts. You know, I had Cabana, Adam Pearce, Davey Richards, Kyle O'Reilly. They all came in for me. So I was still always doing something in pro wrestling. And luckily, the last, I would say, like 5 to 8 years, I've kind of positioned myself in a backstage role, but also still performing. You know, I just have a real passion for helping other people achieve their dreams.
Yeah, and you've done that. And you look at the last 3 months since everything has been going on, on top of this, the pandemic and everything that's going on with COVID-19, where a lot of wrestlers are struggling to make a living as it is, and then this happens to you. I guess there's always been that persona when it comes to pro wrestling, and I think maybe it drove to what happened with you, is that if you don't work, you don't get paid. So I'm sure there have been times where you've been sick, you've had broken bones, you've had injuries, but you had to work because, if you don't work, you don't get paid. So was it that kind of mindset that even with this, like, I have to work, I'm hurting, but I got to continue to work?
Yeah, so, you know, I had an incident in 2007, right before I left Ring of Honor, where I had wrestled Samoa Joe in his last Ring of Honor match in Philadelphia, and he ended up kicking me and it cracked my jaw. And I had this big match with Nigel McGuinness set up in England, and I was really passionate about doing that match. But also, I had just quit my regular job that I had since like 1999 at that point. And so I literally quit that job 2 weeks before I got my jaw broken. Wow. And then I was, you know, scared, like, what am I going to do? If I don't wrestle, I don't get paid. So I ended up wrestling with my jaw broken for 5 weeks. And we, Nigel McGuinness and I had this huge fight without honor in Liverpool. And then I even came back, you know, my face swole up because of flying across the ocean. And then I got back, I wrestled Roderick Strong one more time on an FIP event. And then I had to have it wired shut. But during that time, also, they were giving out contracts at Ring of Honor. And, I cut my wires off early. My second match back, I had to get 10 stitches across my eye because BJ Whitmer and I hit our faces. Then I came back from Japan. I'm in the Ring of Honor ring again, and Gran Akuma formed me. It caught me in the ear, and then I ruptured my eardrum and started bleeding. You know, like, I was still trying to work through all this stuff. And then, so I've never known that, you know, like, hey, you have to sit down and wait. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's that type of mentality, and that goes on with a lot of sports, but especially with pro wrestling on the indie scene. And I wanted to bring that up because I think a lot of fans need to realize that there are a lot of that wrestlers that have that mindset because they have to work through those injuries. With everything that happened with you and the infection that took place and the amputation of your arm, like, knowing that your career is over, and like you said, the outcry of support and all the love, were there naysayers? Was there any negativity at all from the pro wrestling community? And the reason I bring it up, because I think with anything with pro wrestling, sometimes there is always a bit of a backlash.
Yeah. There was a couple people that wanted proof that I had had an arm amputation. Somebody had mentioned on Twitter that I had multiple GoFundMes going. I've never, ever had a GoFundMe in my life. And like, this one wasn't even set up by me. It was set up by my students, mm-hmm. You know, like, so I tweeted out a picture of my arm and, you know, just, and these are people that, you know, had a decent reputation in the pro wrestling community. And so, it's, you know, and then, a few months later, they wanted proof about Brody Lee's tragic passing. And, you know, like, somebody, I just did a an AMA on Reddit, and somebody asked me, like, in this day and age, like, what's one thing that I've seen happen in pro wrestling that's been not so good? And for me, it was always social media, you know, because I've always felt like the more that we are interacting with fans, the less that we are treated like stars, you know? When I was growing up, I couldn't just, like, you know, reach out to Hulk Hogan when Earthquake sat on him and I wrote him a letter and asked him if he, if it really happened, you know what I mean? So, you know, like, that was, those were kind of things that, you know, kind of suck about being a pro wrestler. And then, you know, this day and age that everybody wants, feels justified in what they're doing, and they want gratification. And, you know, a lot of my friends were like, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. But, you know, I, like, I've always been an open book the whole time I've been wrestling.
You know, Jimmy, like, when I, and I've, obviously I'm a lot older than you, but when I was younger and I was a wrestling fan, and me and my buddies that were fans as well, it was like kind of like us against the world. Like, there was enough, like, naysayers when it came to pro wrestling that your fight was never with one another. Your fight was always with the people who weren't fans and the people that didn't get it. And, you know, the people said, oh, that's fake. How can you be a fan of that?
Right.
I kind of feel like now, like, the wrestling community is fighting within ourselves. Like, it's almost like we're cannibalizing one another. You know, obviously a lot of AEW fans go after WWE and WWE fans go after AEW, which kind of shocks and surprises me. I really don't understand that dynamic, but that's the way it kind of feels right now in 2021. Is that all because of social media, do you think?
I really believe so. You know, like, you didn't see this happening. You know, when I first started wrestling, I was a part of NWA Wildside, and we were a developmental company for WCW. So I was around when there was still ECW, WCW, WWE. And, you know, it was just a good time in pro wrestling, you know? And we've been, you know, us that are pro wrestlers have been waiting for that to happen again for so long, and now it's here. And it's, you know, instead of everybody pushing this wrestling thing and, like, getting it back to the way, you know, when the ratings were so high, it's being marginalized. And, like, there's so many great talents now. And, you know, like, watching the independents, like, there's so many great guys coming up, and it happens on the independent level too. Like, you know, if you like one company, you can't like the other, and like, that's not how it needs to be. Like, we're all should be in this thing together.
Jimmy, when you look at the 21 years that you wrestled, and you've worked for multiple companies multiple times, is there one match or one moment that you appreciate more than all the others?
Yeah, when I was working for Gabe Sapolsky in Ring of Honor, there was multiple matches that really stuck with me for different reasons. I had the first time I wrestled Brian Danielson at the 4th anniversary show for them was amazing. Wrestling Nigel McGuinness, like I said, in his hometown was amazing. The program that I did with CM Punk, like, I really liked our dog collar match in Manhattan.
Yeah.
So and then even recently, I wrestled for a company called Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. And even the last 5 years, I've, you know, wrestled Matt Riddle, Cedric Alexander, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, you know, the who's who of independent wrestling. And I just love being able to perform with guys that try to make me better also.
Yeah. And, like, right now, like, what would be the one thing that you would want, like, indie wrestlers to know? Like, what would be the one thing, if you could sit a wrestler down over the 21 years that you have been able to learn, like, what would be the one thing that you would want to get across to a young wrestler starting in the business?
So before all this happened, I was doing quite a few seminars, and, like, instead of putting people through drills and making them run around, I did a lot of stuff on psychology. And I really feel that the way that I've been able to use psychology and pro wrestling has kept me relevant. Even when I wasn't able to do, you know, high flying things or super crazy things, like I've always been able to use my mind to get through wrestling. And I just feel like if people, you know, really continue to maintain that, that they'll have a long, healthy career. You know, before this happened, you know, I would have, like, I've had some minor surgeries, but nothing that's career ending. Like, I haven't messed my knees up or my elbows or my shoulders, none of that stuff. I've never messed any of that up. I had torn my calf a little bit maybe 2 years ago, but other than that, I've been fairly healthy in pro wrestling.
When you look at now, and you do need help, and I want to get people to understand and appreciate that, because you should be appreciated for what you have given to the world of pro wrestling. How can people act? How can people get involved? How can people contribute?
Yeah, the biggest thing right now is the GoFundMe that I have that my students had made for me. I believe it's GoFundMe / F / Jimmy Rave.
Yep.
People can go there and donate. I also have a Pro Wrestling Tees store. It's just Jimmy Rave on there. Those are the two main ways. It's hard just having to ask for help. You know what I mean? Especially somebody that hasn't had to interact with the wrestling community. And like the first thing I have to do is ask for help. It's just, you know, it's kind of embarrassing sometimes.
Well, I wouldn't be embarrassed, because if you don't want to ask, then I'll ask. Everybody that's listening to Busted Open, I really would like you to go to GoFundMe.com/F/Jimmy Rave. We're only halfway to our goal of 20,000. So I really want, for somebody who has given 21 years to the business, has had amazing matches, CM Punk, Brian Danielson, has wrestled all over the country and beyond. I really hope that everybody could give a couple of dollars to contribute to somebody who, like, again, has, you know, has given his body to this business. Again, it's GoFundMe.com/F/Jimmy Rave, and make a donation now, whether it's $5, $10, $15, $20. Let's get this number up. I'll keep asking the nation, because I really want to hit that goal of $20,000. We're a little less than 12,000 now, so we could definitely get that number up. And Jimmy, I just want to say, man, you know, thank you for all the moments. I was in Edison, New Jersey, for your match with Brian Danielson. I've seen you in Manhattan. You have been phenomenal in the ring, and I hope that we can reach that goal. And I just want to thank you for everything you've done for the pro wrestling industry.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. For the fans out there, anything that you can do, I totally appreciate. But even if you can't, I just want you guys to know that whether you booed me, cheered me, threw toilet paper at me, I've appreciated it all. I've been able to live my dream through pro wrestling and get to see the world through pro wrestling. So I really appreciate it all.
Yeah. And if you ever need us, you know, I know this has been a tough transition for you. We're here for you as well. Thanks so much for the time, man. I truly appreciate it. And if there's anything we can do, just let me know.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.